Hello, today I'm talking about the way in which cultural biases, combined with a bias towards seeing things, if only tacitly, through the lens of mainstream economics and neoliberalism, pervert our understandings of the things we observe. I'm soon off again to work at Kyoto University in Japan for another year, and I'll be there again for several months. When I'm there, I live in a regular suburb near the university and interact on a daily basis with the locals in the street and at the local shops. In doing that, I begin to learn the meter and the customs of the neighbourhood and in turn the society in a way that tourists who come into a city and haunt the large tourist areas never do. It also motivates me to seek an understanding of the observations made while navigating daily life, especially where practices appear different to those common in my country of origin, Australia in this case. And I have learned that the things I see can only be fully understood by using a sort of inner logic, that is, by trying to put oneself in the local shoes, applying history, custom, etc., rather than interpreting phenomena that I see by using a logic that I might apply in Australia. I read a story in an Australian newspaper last week, which was written by the travel expert, which carried the title, 10 Things We'll Never Understand About Japan. It caught my attention because I'm always trying to gain a deeper understanding of matters Japan. Two of the mysterious things about Japan that the travel writer mentioned were 1, over-servicing, and 2, pointless traffic controllers. The first claim was that the Japanese were surprisingly inefficient because when you enter a large shop in Japan, there are always several uniformed people standing ready to greet and welcome you. The journal wondered, how can they afford it? The second mystery related to the people you see in mostly blue uniforms with a flashing baton who pop up at road crossings and outside shopping centres. Their function is to direct traffic or pedestrians safely. The journalist rather arrogantly said that they are there just in case you're wondering what the zebra stripes are for. Viewed from a neoliberal English-speaking perspective, I can see why this journalist is confused and harshly judgmental. Even though as a travel writer, one should expect them to see things in a more culturally appropriate way. We're conditioned in Australia to think of productivity, which is the quantity of output produced per unit of input, in a very narrow way. A productive activity is one we think minimises inputs to get a desired output, which means it minimises private costs. Note the private here. A productive worker, according to this perspective, is one that maximises private profits for a capitalist enterprise. Here we are only counting private costs and benefits, and this restrictive view permeates what we define as efficiency, which in turn biases us against a range of activities that we dismiss as being unproductive or wasteful, which is why we are biased towards dismissing public sector job creation programs as make work schemes, painting rocks, and other pejorative descriptions. I will talk more about these programs in another episode. But if we really want to see the essence of things that are before us, we have to take a broader perspective on what is productive. A factory that is considered highly productive in the narrow mainstream sense might be spewing out dangerous effluent into the water table which is not costed into their pricing. The difference between private and social matters. As for a private capitalist firm that only considers its own bottom line, the traffic controllers in Japan who direct people across zebra crossings or wave through cyclists across the front of shopping centre car parks are wasteful and unnecessary. But from the perspective of society, we would not draw that conclusion. These workers are employed, they are earning an income, they can risk manage the lives of their families, they are remaining connected to the community, they feel a sense of self-worth, contributing to the connectedness of their neighbourhoods. They sometimes exchange pleasantries and jokes, which lighten the day and add warmth to the personal experience. They are valuable contributors to society. These elements are what I consider to be vital components to a measure of productivity, a social concept. Last year I was talking to a boss of a firm in Kyoto, and he told me that Japanese employers hate sacking people and will do everything they can to avoid that outcome. While Japan has infused many Western practices, particularly American traits, it remains a very inclusive and solidaristic society. It places a value on people being in employment and keeping unemployment very low. Its manufacturing sector is very productive in the narrow way that we tend to think of it, and Japanese engineers have defined best practice in many areas of industry. Its service sector is very unproductive in that narrow sense, but plays a crucial role in binding society together and ensuring workers have jobs and incomes and can avoid poverty. That role makes these workers who greet the shoppers at the door or the wan waivers at the car park highly productive from a societal perspective. I'll be back next time. Until then, see you later and take care.